Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
There are five, by the way, large, unmarked, and unopened plastic bags of tortilla chips in the station kitchen area. Their origin and time of arrival is unknown.
Sports Talk Saturday.
If you've never smoked and you've only tried one maybe spoiled bag of tortilla chips, you might only pay $20 a month for health insurance.
On WGR.
Be like Lou. He's on bag number two.
Sports Radio 550.
Well, we get a mini Sports Talk Saturday here. It's not like I haven't been here for the last several days, but here we are once again. Right now, though, I'm all alone in this studio. Over the past couple days, Nate has been sitting to my left. Zach has been sitting right across from me. And that is not happening right now. Those two are going to be in at noon as we get day three started with the NFL draft. But I've got to tell y'all something real quick. I'm going to back away from the microphone. I need a break from it! And that is exactly what we're going to do with this first segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. We'll have Booty Cheek of the Week because we have to. It's a thing. It's almost like a blood oath at this point. And then Sal Capaccio will be checking in from One Bills Drive. So while I will only get like a 30-minute break from the NFL draft when it comes to me sitting here in these studios, this is that 30-minute break. It is. And I'm perfectly happy with talking about quite literally anything else than the NFL draft right now. Why? Because we're going to be doing it for the rest of the afternoon. And I want to go back to something that happened earlier this week. And I know that it would not get nearly as much of the fanfare for several reasons. One, it's the Buffalo Sabres. Of course, they're not going to get any of the fanfare. They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. Hoo-ha, whoop-de-doo, what did they do? Well, they hired Lindy Ruff back. And I didn't get a chance to really say anything about it. And at first, my thoughts on Lindy Ruff had always been, if they end up on him, it's fine. And that was my initial thought. I didn't love the idea, but it was also because I was suspecting that there would be more candidates available or different candidates available. I mean, I wasn't really like all that gung-ho about like Craig Berube or anything like that, or Gerard Gallant, because retreads are retreads at this point. You lose jobs for a reason at that point. Whereas with Lindy Ruff, it was, the more you look at it, he had poor goaltending in New Jersey in that past season. And the pie in the sky, though, for me was Rob Brind'Amour. They're about to sweep the Islanders. Let's be real. The Islanders were frauds. We all knew it, and it's being proven. The Capitals were frauds, and it's being proven. The Sabres, this is going to be the most cocky and arrogant thing I say today, and that's saying something. The Sabres would have fared better than either of those teams in the playoffs. And people are going to go, but Derek, they didn't make the playoffs. They were awful this year. Yeah, they were awful at stringing wins together. They were awful at getting to overtime. You know what an inconsistent team does? Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. You know what a seven-game series does? Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. There's no streaks in a seven-game series. If it goes seven, there's no streaks. It's not like one team wins three and then the next team wins three. It's like, no. It means that you are just, like, it's just not going smoothly for either team. That doesn't mean that either team is playing poorly, for example, but like, the Sabres would have handled better the opportunity at the, maybe Florida sweeps them, but the Rangers, they would have probably stolen a game from the Rangers. Because the Sabres didn't go on streaks, bad or good. They had one four-game losing streak, and that was it. Like, that was the longest streak of either side. They would have won more games than the Capitals and Islanders are about to combined. And that's wholly arrogant to say of a team that has missed the playoffs for 13 years. It just goes to show why Don Granato ended up losing his job. Like, this was an opportunity to sneak into the back door of the playoffs and break the drought in a year where that was really, like, the bar was low. The bar was lower than it was last year, and you couldn't get there. However, Lindy Ruff, like, the Devils were the same thing as the Sabres when it came to record, inconsistency when it comes to winning streaks or losing streaks, and not getting to overtime. That was another thing. Like, the Devils were almost this mirror image of Buffalo this year. Ironically enough, both coaches lost their jobs for varying reasons, but both coaches did lose their jobs. Now, looking back on the hiring process, it took less than a week. And Kevin Adams was adamant that he talked to a couple people. Like, he talked to double-digit people. It doesn't mean he gave official interviews to 12 people. That's just, time-wise, that's just not realistic. But I'm going to believe him because somehow, like, despite his inaction from last year, everything that he does say does seem to be a little bit more on the genuine side of maybe it just, there's this aura of authenticity with him. And you typically don't get that from general managers. So, or it's just like this run-of-the-mill stuff. No, he seemed aggravated at that press conference, and I love that energy from him because he understands this is my last chance to have some sort of legitimate opportunity as a general manager in the National Hockey League. Like, this is it. Could he end up like with other office jobs in the NHL? Yes, but if they get to the playoffs with Kevin Adams as the general manager, then whatever happens from there, he will get another general manager job if he wants it. It, like, ever again, because the NHL is great at hiring retreads. But if he doesn't get there here, it's just this, oh, like the public perception of when he was hired. Oh, you were brought in from Harbor Center. You never belonged here anyway. And that's not a fair perception, and he wants to break that. He wants to shatter that perception. So he is miffed, and I love it. He's saying this hire is for right now. And that's the part that I'm going to be thrilled about, is that he's understanding that it's in the moment now, which allows me to think he's going to take a swing this year, that he has to. He's learned from the summer of his mistake of inaction. And again, this is his opportunity to realize that he could be a general manager for a long time in the National Hockey League. It's this year. Like, this is his moment. So I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for the energy that Kevin Adams brought to that presser. I am more excited about the energy that Lindy Ruff brought to that presser. He very much felt grounded, and any questions about adjusting or the analytics answer was by far my favorite thing from that press conference, because he went into detail about what he uses it for, how he combines it with the eye test, goes into, hey, we use this to make sure, like, if there's a pairing that's not working together, and my brain just went back to the Joki Haru-Byram pairing to end the season. Like, dear God, make it stop, and we kept getting it. So, I hate to be an idiot about this all over again, but the vibes are kind of back. Evan just snapped his head over to me.
They're kind of back. I want to believe you.
You don't want to get burned again.
I don't want to get burned again because this is what's been happening for so many years. We've been saying like, oh, the vibes are back. The Sabres are, you know, they're gonna be this great team, and then they all of a sudden they fall apart. And maybe I've been used to getting disappointed with this hockey team. I'm a firm believer of I need to see it to believe it.
No, I get that. But that's exactly what the message was from that as well, was the Sabres are realizing this is last chances for a lot of people. This is realistically Lindy's last go at a head coaching job. This is realistically Kevin Adams' chance to prove that he belongs in the NHL as a general manager. Terry Pegula talking about the past didn't help anything, but you know what? This is why he doesn't talk to the media. So I don't know what we were expecting. But again, it's about now. That was the message, and that's what I loved about it, was the Sabres have a chance to make noise. They really still do. Now, everyone hates hearing this, but I'm going to spin this in a different light. This was the youngest team in the National Hockey League, which does mean there should be staying power, okay? I'm not talking about inexperience. I'm talking about weaponizing it. That means that these players should be around for a long time. So a down year with them does not mean that this is youth and inexperienced thing. This is we should be used to the chances here and the opportunities. We should be hyping that up again because they are still so young. That should be a sign of optimism, not inexperience at this point, because there's a lot of players that start playing at 18, 19, 20 at this point, and they collect a lot of games. But this should give you a chance to you should be allowed to be excited still, is basically what I'm saying. I will not dispute anyone saying exactly what Evan did, which was, now I have to see it to believe it. But the only way for you to actually try to believe in it, you got to have at least a microcosm of optimism. You have to. Because otherwise, why are you watching it?
I think what we saw
And a lot of people have turned them off. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. I think what we saw from Ruff in that, what was it, that 112-point season that he had with the Devils, the second youngest team in hockey, and he really got fired because his goaltender couldn't make saves.
Yeah, no, his goaltending was awful this past year.
And so I look at it from a standpoint of, he did it with a young team. I think he can do it again. And, you know, I want to say that people want him, are excited to have him back because, you know, it brings back the nostalgia. But I think that he has shown that everywhere he's gone, he's had success. And I think that that's what really we've always asked for.
Exactly. So, the whole thing about, like, Thomas Fitzgerald, the general manager of New Jersey, he said something when Lindy got fired about, like, accountability isn't just sitting young players. First of all, Tom Fitzgerald doesn't look like he's a good general manager, I would say. I don't think he's all that good. Secondly, because, I mean, what are you doing to help him with anything in the net, by the way? But the other thing is, the player that was in question was Alex Holtz. Alex Holtz doesn't really seem like he's that good of a hockey player so far. And if you're trying to win games, you're going to sit players that you don't think are going to help you win games. Because Alex Holtz is an interesting one. I've seen a decent amount of Alex Holtz playing hockey. How do I know this? Because Rochester's been in the Calder Cup playoffs. Rochester's been in the Calder Cup playoffs. I've gone down the 90 to go watch them. You know what players stood out between Rochester and Utica a couple years back? JJ Paterka, Jack Quinn. You know who didn't stand out at all? Alex Holtz. I just call it like I see it. Like in Rochester in that playoff run that they had, JJ was the best player on the ice. It wasn't Quinn, it was JJ. I forgot Alex Holtz was there sometimes. I think I saw more out of Tage Thompson's younger brother, Tice, than I did from Alex Holtz in those playoff series. So, this narrative about Lindy Ruff not getting along with young players, I don't know where that came from. It came from Holtz and him riding the pine, but maybe he's just not that good. It happens. High picks sometimes fizzle out. And I think that's what's happening here. So, Ruff is going to be taking over a team that has a lot of youth. It should have a lot of enthusiasm. But it's now also youth that needs that kick in the pants. The growing and development portion's over. Now it's about trying to turn this thing into the winner it's supposed to be. The winner we thought that they would become this past season. And they didn't. It's going to be exciting. I'm happy with what I heard. I'm happy with this sort of thing. And here's the last thing here about the Lindy Ruff hire that is the most important part of it. Who doesn't like him here? Like, as a person, who doesn't like Lindy Ruff as a person? Because if you say that you don't, you're wrong. It's okay to be wrong. But this is a guy you cheer for. This is a guy that everyone wants to go to bat for because this guy, even when he was gone, he has always been about Buffalo. He met with the media when the Bills were playing a playoff game and said, Bills game's on, we got to make this quick. Like, that's a man that's been here. He's been an employee of the Buffalo Sabres every decade of its existence, by the way. That's a fun little fact, which kind of says something about the Sabres, but it also says something about Lindy Ruff. That he has been a part of Sabres history every decade of its existence. He was drafted in 79. Played in the 80s. Started coaching in the 90s. Through the 2000s. Into the 2010s. Gets fired in 2012.
It was 2013.
2013, sorry.
Either way, sorry.
But no, like, thank you for that. And then comes back in the 2020s. That's cool. It's genuinely cool. Okay? When things are cool, you could say that they're cool. It's all right. You know? Hey, Evan. I'm feeling lazy today, even though I'm in a rolly chair. You mind helping me snag George here? As we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. George, we're potting you up here. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Good. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the draft.
Oh, trust me. We're going to be doing that at noon. We're up and running again. So if you got draft thoughts, go ahead.
Well, my draft thought is that I kind of trust what they're doing, but I wouldn't have made the deal with Kansas City. Coleman better be a hell of a lot better than Worthy coming out like right out of the box, because all Worthy's got to do is, very little. If he returns a punt or something, it's going to look bad on us. And never mind about what it looks like. If he is better, what was the strategy in that?
So, honestly, I'm not worried about the Worthy pick because the Bills didn't seem to like him, and that's fine. They probably didn't like his smaller frame, and they want a guy that could play on the X. Something tells me that Xavier Worthy and his frame, they're probably not lining him up on the outside in Kansas City. They're probably going to put him in the slot a lot, and that's a good fit for them. And if Brandon Bean didn't ask who Kansas City was taking there, for example, like, whatever. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the trade. If he's a good player, he's a good player. But as long as Keon Coleman's a good player, that's the part that matters. I am not going to waste a lot of my energy on if Xavier Worthy is good. Because he's not a Buffalo Bill. He's not. That's okay. Like, what, like, everyone needed to take, I said it on Thursday. We needed to take a step back, breathe, sleep on it, okay? Stop looking at the revisionist history of the Patrick Mahomes trade, okay? Because Patrick Mahomes was the third quarterback taken in that draft. Okay? He was the third guy. And when he was selected, nobody thought he would be this monster that we've had to deal with year in and year out. Xavier Worthy was the fifth receiver taken? I'm going to look just to be sure here. Yep, we had our big three. We had Brian Thomas. Yeah, fifth receiver. The fifth receiver taken. We can relax about this. Don't let Kansas City live rent-free in your heads, everyone. Because the Bills do have a solid record against them. They just lose at the worst times. They're 4-1 in the regular season, 0-3 in the playoffs. You got to fix that last part. But if you put all the wins together, it's 4-4. They're two good teams that match up evenly against each other. The games that the Bills just happen to lose are instant classics, and they're just on the short end of the stick. Football happens. Teams have to lose good games.
That doesn't mean
that we have to have them living rent-free in our heads.
I think it also has to do with how many times the Chiefs have ended the Bills season.
I don't care anymore. They're good teams. Only one team wins the freaking thing. Now I'm pissed. This is why I didn't want to talk about the draft yet. Ah! Like, enough about the Worthy trade. We've had 2 days. I told people, sleep on it. Touch grass. I don't care. Enough about Kansas City. Enough. Going to break. Booty Cheek of the Week is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All I wanted was a 30-minute break from the NFL draft, and you guys couldn't let me have it. That was it. That's all I wanted. This is my hell. Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday, a miniature version of it before. Hey, good news. We have NFL draft coverage coming up in 30 minutes. Actually, probably, no, we have NFL draft coming up in 15 minutes because Sal Capaccio is going to be joining us from Woman Bills Drive. So, you're not missing anything, everyone. It's okay. We're going to be talking plenty more about the draft, okay? So maybe I'm the booty cheek of the week for thinking I could get away with 30 minutes of not talking about it. Shame on me.
I mean, I remember people getting upset that we were going to, like, we were talking, we went to Sabres Live after day one of the of training camp. People were like, why are you going to talk about hockey? This is a football season.
I wanted a break. That's all I wanted.
I get it, too. And it's not like the Sabres weren't in the news this past week.
Yeah, no, they did a newsworthy thing. I felt like I wanted to say something about it. And it's fine if you guys want to call and talk about the draft. I just don't care about the Xavier Worthy crap anymore. I want to care about and worry about the Bills. That's the team I'm focused on. I told everyone to sleep on it. And if you're still upset, that's a you problem. And we should be holding ourselves to a higher standard and each other to a higher standard of not letting Kansas City live rent-free in our heads.
I feel like that's happened. I just told you this.
It's too late at this point.
The Chiefs have been living in the fan in the heads of Bills fans since 13 seconds. Prove me wrong.
I can't. I realistically cannot.
Just people are just. I'm tired of talking
World
about Jim the Chiefs.
World Jim tweeting at me. Absolutely unlistenable. I blame WGR for allowing this. A real station would never allow this crap to be broadcast. Hey, you know what? Thanks. I appreciate the words. Because that means you at least heard it for a moment. I don't care about Kansas City. And now I'm turning the sword. The booty cheek of the week is anyone that's still legitimately angry about this. Stop letting the Chiefs live rent-free in your heads. Try to enjoy it because clearly you guys are driving me crazy. I was gonna laugh at the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, when I heard about that, that was insane.
But now I'm gonna sit here with my blood boiling and pissed off.
Ugh. I just don't understand why we need
Joe Yurden
talking about the
Joe Yurden. You'll get nothing and like it. You know what, Joe? That's that noted jerk brand coming out there, baby. I love it. But that's my fault for thinking I can get away with it. And it's your fault if you're letting Kansas City sit rent-free in your heads. Okay? I'm calling a spade there. Worry about the Buffalo Bills. And when Kansas City undoubtedly shows up on the schedule again, and when they show up again in January, then we can worry about it, okay? It's okay to try to appreciate the draft for what it was. Kansas City had to give up several picks in this draft, by the way, to move up a collective of 5 spots. That's not good asset management, guys. Like, what are we doing? Oh, and by the way, Kansas City has not had a good hit on a wide receiver draft pick since Tyreek Hill. Rashee Rice might have sped raced his good run. Mecole Hardman already left the team and then had to be brought back to be a contributor. Oh, and he fumbled out of the end zone, by the way. It gave the Bills one last chance to win that game. So it's not like Mecole Hardman's been a great receiver for the Chiefs either. We have to stop pretending like the Chiefs know what they're doing at wide receiver. They have Travis Kelce. And a bunch of flotsam and jetsam. That's what they won with last year. Their wide receiver room last year was worse than the Bills looks like right now. And they won a Super Bowl with it. Because they have a great quarterback and they have an all-god tight end. And the Bills have a great team. Because their problem in the divisional round was that they had so many linebacker injuries, they couldn't cover the all-god guy. And great teams lose games in the playoffs too. It's a missed opportunity. I'm done talking about this for now. And anyone that's still mad about the Kansas City trade back where Buffalo fell back five selections, got themselves a third round pick, added some bulk to their defensive line for it, by the way. They got an extra player out of it. And they still drafted the receiver they wanted the whole time.
That's good management. That's also the other thing that I don't understand why people are upset about this, is that you did
still
get a
upset.
Wide receiver.
Still upset. Like, I get being mad on Thursday night.
Yes.
I get that. But you take a moment, you recollect yourself, and you get back at it. And try to enjoy it. But those people that are still mad about it, find something enjoyable to do. I'm not kidding when I say that, because this is clearly not fun for you. Evan, I'm going to try to do this again. You have a booty cheek that doesn't involve the draft. Let's see if everyone gets pissed at me for this.
No, my booty cheek of the week is, I'm not going to try to pronounce this guy's last name, but the umpire that ejected Aaron Boone in for literally during the Yankees-A's game. And I never like major league umpiring, because I always feel like that umpires are one of the most sensitive officials in the four major sports. I mean, yeah, NBA is pretty bad, but when you have a guy that is literally, he said, okay, if you say another word, I'm kicking you out of the game. And he goes, okay, and there's a camera on him, not on
saying
on Aaron Boone,
nothing. He's said saying nothing.
And then all of a sudden, you're out of here. And it came from a fan. Now, credit, it was in the direction, but oh my gosh, you need.
He just had rabbit ears on.
Yeah. He like, they need to.
The ump show is unreal.
Chill out with umpiring. It was just the most ridiculous thing. Now, I get it. Aaron Boone has had this reputation of getting kicked out of games, but also, let's remember that it's. He didn't say a word. I wish that you could honestly, like, replay and see, like, oh.
They should be able to review ejections, because that would be one that's reviewable.
Yes.
I would say that.
Or even just, I don't know. I don't want to say,
because
there's
the NHL
whole
reviews.
Yeah.
They misconducts.
I would say something along the lines of even, like, take away games behind the plate for umpires. Or. But, you know, the umpires union wouldn't have that. Otherwise, Angel Hernandez would be out of a job.
There we go. We dunked on Angel Hernandez again this week. There we go, baby.
Woo!
Good job. We're two for two. Anyway, no, like, the thing is that officiating does have some rules in check now for ejections. College football, they automatically review any targeting penalty to see if it is warranting of a ejection. The NHL, they review major penalties to see if it is a major and an ejection. Why can't baseball? They've been trying to fix and change things about their game so much now that one of the biggest problems that is consistent is umpiring. If you want to try to fix the last real glaring flaw in the game, do something about it. Try to make ejections reviewable, because you'd be able to see if they're, like, if someone's acting out of pocket, that's fine. But that one you could look at and see that there's television evidence that he didn't say anything and he still got the gate. It was bizarre to watch, for sure. And definitely booty cheek worthy. But yeah, the other booty cheek of the week, it's still me. Just for thinking I can get an escape from it, the draft for 30 minutes. We didn't even get to 30. That's on me. I was a fool. But you know what? Good news, guys. We've got plenty of NFL draft coverage coming up even next, because Sal Capaccio is going to be joining us from One Bills Drive. But we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Sal and then get our draft coverage started a little bit early. It was supposed to start at noon, and we'll be able to start in just a few moments here on WGR.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It has been a great, great experience. We met again at the combine. Then I went up there for my 30, and it just was great. It was a great connection. We love what we were doing on the board together, and we got a great feel for each other. I think that ultimately played into the decision.
Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman, the first selection of Buffalo's draft class at 33 overall, and the wide receiver train got its guy at the start of day two. Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Derek Kramer here with you, and Zach Jones and Nate Geary will be dropping in a few moments as our draft roundtable continues on for the rest of this weekend, getting you through day three. And even more draft blurbs we'll be hearing from One Bills Drive, where our own Sal Capaccio has been stationed all weekend. Sal, I hope they've been taking care of you with plenty of food and provisions. You guys had mulberries on Thursday night. I remember that discussion. But I'd imagine you've been fed and going strong.
Just got pizza delivered, boys, so we'll make this quick so I can eat. No, I'm just we did, though. We just had pizza. It's good. They'll feed us that, and then later on today, they usually give us dinner as well. So we're down here all day, and it's going to be a long day here at One Bills Drive. Usually we don't even wrap up the draft till what, in the 6 o'clock hour, maybe, somewhere in there?
I just died inside when you said that. But do they have cots for you guys or something? Like, do you guys live there this weekend?
No, I mean, we kind of do. I got out Thursday night. I got out at 2:15.
Yep.
Last night, about an hour before that, about 1:15, and then back at it. And then this is the life of a 10-year-old baseball dad. I got out here at 1:15, home a little before 2, and then we had baseball practice this morning at 8 a.m. So there you go.
Oh man, you're gonna sleep like a rock after this, man.
Yeah, there you go, buddy.
So, Sal, of course, though, it's been busy for the Bills in the varying degrees of the word. Obviously, round one, trading back twice, that is something that is a very occupying thing. It's a very busy evening for you. You're working the phones. But then with all of that busy work in round one comes the other side of it. Three selections in round one. They get a receiver, they get themselves a safety, and then they go ahead and grab someone from the defensive line. So it seems like they're plugging in the depth at the pieces that seem to be needing it. And now you're looking at 7 selections today. I don't think they use all 7 of them, but now that I put it out there, it's probably going to happen.
Well, I think that the over-under for me would be around 5.5, right? I think if 6 sounds about right, maybe right. 7. I think 7 is too high. I agree with you. You have so much ammo in the 5th round to move up if you want. 4 picks in the 5th round. To your point about getting needed players. Look, I think that you could say that almost every year. Like when you draft someone, short of drafting a quarterback because you don't need one, you could draft a need. If you draft a running back, there's a need here, right? For a backup running back. You could draft another receiver, there's still a need. There's still a need at depth of the offensive line if you want. There's definitely a need depth corner, right? There's always needs. Yesterday, they did fill needs, and they also got guys who can come right in and play. I mean, you think about it. Keon Coleman's going to play right away. Brandon Bean said they're going to rely on him to be the X receiver. He's going to be on the field. He's going to be a big part of this offense. And then, Bishop, he's going to play. Yesterday I kind of riled some feathers on social media because I said, to me, he's like the replacement for the Saran Neal role. And I should have said was, hey, he's going to compete for a starting job, but even if he doesn't make it, he's going to be like your big nickel and still be on the field. Like, so you know what to me it is? I think the best way, I was thinking about this today for him. I think he can be everything they hoped Saran Neal would be but never was as a defender, and then maybe also be a starter right away. Eventually, he will be the starter, but it just might not be this year. Maybe it's by the end of the year. He's going to play. So make no mistake. I'm not saying he's just a special teams guy. What I'm saying is he'll play on defense. The question is, will he start or will he just be a big nickel? Will he play like the Jordan Poyer role towards the end of last year? Remember that when he was playing big nickel safety? Yep. I think that was a great role where they needed that and to cover tight ends. That's a needed position, though. Like, that's what they need. And then, of course, the third round, they take Dwayne Carter. He, Brandon Bean said, plug and play. He's going to come in. He's going to play right away as part of that rotation on the D-line.
Yeah, no, that looks like a good player for a nice rotational spot. And a guy who was very key in making some big plays in his last two seasons at Duke. Sal, of course, they've got their fourth-round selection here. But ever since this regime took over, this is only the third time that they will probably be drafting in the fourth round. And the only other two that Bean and McDermott have taken were hits. They were Gabe Davis and Taron Johnson. So I would love to see them doing more work here in the fourth round.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bean has done a really good job in McDermott, too, in that first draft. But Bean's done a good job in these rounds, 4 and 5. You look back at Taron Johnson, Matt Milano in 2017 when Bean before he got here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Gabe Davis. There's been nice play. Tyler Bass. Well, he might have been 6, right? If they go back and think
yeah,
about
he was
it.
But 6.
These are the day. This is the day where they've plucked players who have been contributors on good teams. You know,
very consistently too.
And let's not forget, as soon as this is over, undrafted free agency starts. And there's going to be guys out there they're going to go try and grab. That's where you get your Cam Lewis's of the world, who are 6 years in now, playing a huge role for this team. Right? You get guys like that as well. So today's a big day for the organization, I think, to really kind of take advantage of a lot of the, you know, value that they believe is out there. We'll see what they do. They come up. I'm going to check right now. You probably have the numbers in front of you where exactly they're picking. In the rounds here, but I can try and grab it for you.
The 20th pick of the fourth round.
So they're not picking for quite a while, but this is the time where we all have to be on our toes because they could very well say, we're going to package a couple of those fifths and move up into the fourth.
Yeah, no, they could probably even package a couple of them and just pick twice in the fourth round even more This is going to be an interesting moment to see what they do here. But I'm excited to just see them use a fourth-round pick, if only because Bean's history with it in 2018 and 2020 was bangers only. They got Gabe Davis. They got Taron Johnson. Those guys had, or are still having, for Johnson's case, relatively successful overall Bills careers for a fourth-round selection.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, today's a big day down here, guys, at One Bills Drive, and we'll keep you posted. And as soon as guys get drafted, you know, they give us a Zoom call with them, and, you know, we'll jump on that Zoom call with them. But also, just a little while ago, we were sitting here, and I know that Bill's, you know, social media and media department has been waiting down here for some of the players to come down. We just saw Cole Bishop a little while ago show up at One Bills Drive with his family. So I know that you'll be seeing a lot of that today. We're actually going to have those guys today. Several. I'm assuming all three will be here today. I mean, that's not confirmed, but when that happens, we can bring that to you here for, live from the podium as well.
Sal, I got into yelly screamy mode a little earlier here because if people are still upset about the Xavier Worthy thing,
I want to tell you what happened. I got here and I had someone in the media room say, "Who's on the air right now on WGR?"
Because he's losing.
I said,
marbles.
"I think Derek." Well, why is he screaming about something with Chiefs fans and Bills fans? I said, "I don't know." So you could tell me what you were talking about. But that was the talk down here.
Yeah. So who's on right now? Because he's losing his marbles. Is he okay?
No, yes, that was what it was.
First of all,
that was exactly what someone said. You're losing your mind. Yes.
First of all, no, I'm not okay. Second of all, it was about the fact that someone's worried about the Chiefs adding Worthy, and it's like, stop caring about it. Just care about the Bills selections. They took the receiver anyway.
Okay, so listen, I do think you should worry about the Chiefs being. I mean, they're the Chiefs, right? But I also, I'm tired of this notion of how did you just allow them to do it or hand them to them? The only way they could have blocked them was taking themselves. That's the only way. If the Bills take someone else, the Chiefs just trade up to the next spot to get Xavier Worthy, or the next spot to get Xavier Worthy, or they wait and they take him themselves. The bottom line was the Bills didn't want Xavier Worthy, so they're going to take the best deal, and that happened to be the Chiefs, and they don't know who they're going to take, and they're like, all right, well, it's not about Worthy. It's just about, you know, doing what's best for your team,
yeah,
and that's what they
want.
Did. So, yeah, I mean, I saw a video today, too. Someone was one of the NFL analysts. I was just watching some of their analysis, and I can't believe the Bills just handed and gave Xavier Worthy to them. No, they didn't. They just didn't draft him themselves and traded. And if the Kansas City Chiefs wanted him, they could have just got him with the next pick by trading. Who knows? I don't know. But that's But yeah, I mean, you should care that Xavier Worthy's on the Chiefs. Of course you should. Here's a question for you that I was thinking about today.
Yep.
Let's play this scenario out for a second. What if the Bills had traded with the Chiefs and the Chiefs took Keon Coleman? I would tell you, Derek, I am willing to bet you would be getting Bills fans going, I can't believe you gave the Chiefs Keon Coleman.
Yep, it's pretty much the same thing. Same story.
Yep.
So
it's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. It's just, it's the simple fact that the Chiefs are the team that have won. They have the Super Bowl championship. So whatever they do must be better than what your team does. Aside from the fact that they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round several years ago,
right,
and Sky Moore has not panned out and traded for Kadarius Toney. Let's not forget all those. I'm not saying, of course, they're the Super Bowl champs. Of course, they're great. They have a great roster. They're a very well-run organization. But they're not without fault. They're not perfect. And I'm telling you, if they would have traded in that spot, taking Keon Coleman, the Bills fans, there would be some Bills fans who would be totally upset thinking, how did you let them get Keon Coleman?
Yeah, and again, the other part of it is just, and we got to wrap here, but
yeah,
for me, it's just also, you have a 4-4 record overall with this, with these incarnations of these teams. The Bills are just losing in the worst of situations, yes, with each of them. So it's not like they're
right
not
there,
evenly matched. Like, they're always right.
That's
there.
Right.
And two of those playoff losses were insta-classics, too. So, it, like, we're fine, guys. Everyone's okay. Like, the Bills are okay. They're competing. Yeah. They're in there with it. They're in the mud with Kansas City every year. So let's see what we get.
Of course.
Day 3 about to get started. Sal, we'll be hearing from you plenty throughout this afternoon.
You got it, guys.
Zach and Nate have both plopped in here. Sal from One Bills Drive. I'm going to take a step back and breathe and eat some breakfast. So,
by
Nate,
the way, your breakfast consists of Twix and Pop-Tarts. So,
look, we've had a weekend. So,
I'm not saying I wouldn't classify it necessarily as breakfast.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, Nate's going to take point here. I'm done. Our day 3 coverage starts in a couple minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.